Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We are here at Rogers Campground Port Fest, Porcupine Freedom Festival, day number 4, I believe it is. It's easy to lose track of the days when you're here in the mountains and you don't have to be at work, you don't really have a schedule to stick to. The closest thing I have to a schedule is that at some point during the day, I have to wander down to the FTL site and I have to record a show. And after that, I can do whatever. And before that, I can do whatever. So it's a very loose schedule. And it was really weird yesterday when I was planning to do the show. Yesterday, we did She Talk Live here, topless. And a few people who were involved in that wanted, like, nail down an exact time to be here. They're like, okay, so we're starting at 11. I'm like, oh, let's call it 11 libertarian time, right? Like, sometime between 11 and 5 in the afternoon is when I will be down there. So that's all I can say for sure, because I'm going to wander off, and because there's always something going on here. And it's the worst event possible for someone with ADHD. And I don't have ADHD, but I feel so bad for anyone who does, because they might try going to one place, and they get pulled off into a completely different location. And this sort of happens to me with just people stopping to talk to me or to, you know, pet my dog. It takes forever for me to walk from one place to the other. But I love it. I love the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and we are here for 3 more days until Sunday the 25th, so come hang out with us. I am a bit hoarse, as you're hearing. My allergies, or my sinuses are a bit messed up because I got hit in the eye earlier, and that was super unpleasant. I don't even know what happened, because it all happened so quickly. I was just minding my own business, getting out of the car, and chaos erupted. And I got hit in the eye with something. I want to say it was the dog, but I'm not 100% sure. It may have been the person who almost walked into us. So something hit me in the eye, and it's got me really messed up. But I'm joined now by Jason Henza, who was, I'm calling him the anarchist superstar, because it reminds me of the Marilyn Manson album Antichrist Superstar, which is, of course, a play on the Christian film Jesus Superstar. None of that's relevant. Anyway, you were in the HBO series The Anarchist. Last time we had you on the show, you had mentioned that the show was coming, but it hadn't actually been released yet. So thank you for joining us today. What's that been like, the reception? Because I know you said something about it on social media at one point, how it was suddenly you were, everyone was talking about you, right? So what was that like as the person who went through it? I mean, you mentioned in The Anarchist what it was like to go through that, but what was it like to go through that sudden rise of fame that seemed to happen as a result of the HBO series?
Well, I had prepared myself before the HBO
directly
series. Even before I talked to anybody, talked to the cameras, talked to anybody, I thought about whether or not it was a good idea to talk to these cameras after I was shot. There was no interest in me for the HBO series until I was shot and my friend was murdered right before me and stuff like that. My friend was shot, and before I even put on a mic and talked to the cameras or anything like that, I thought to myself, I don't want anything to do with this. I don't really want to...
I can imagine. It must have been a traumatic experience. You know, I mean, you were also, your friend was shot and killed, but you were also shot 3 times. Is that right?
Yeah, Jesus, my right arm wasn't working. I still have a bullet in my chest. And, I just...
That's hardcore, dude.
I didn't want anything to do with it, and I had to think about whether or not I wanted to actually give this story to the world, because when you're on television, when you do these kinds of things, your story no longer belongs to yourself. Your privacy goes away. And everybody just gets to choose who you are from that point forward. Whatever they see, they look through like a little tiny straw, and they decide who you are from that moment on. So,
and they base this on, you know, the 15 minutes per episode or whatever that you're in of The Anarchist. So they don't even get a full picture. They get a very tiny picture of you.
Right. So it's an absolutely wild ride. A lot of men who went through what I went through reached out right away, and they talked to me. And I got, like, a million messages. It took me about 3 months to catch up with everybody.
I can imagine. Yeah.
I replied to everybody who wasn't absolutely insane.
Okay,
There were some people that decided to let me know that they were happy that I got shot, that I was...
Jesus Christ, what is wrong with... I mean, well, I sort of see the same thing on social media.
Yeah, it's a social media thing. They're completely disconnected with who I am, and my story's just out there, so...
Yeah, but tell someone that you're happy they got shot.
Yeah.
That's certified. That's psychopathic.
Well, they want people who think like me to be dead, but they're only assuming how I think. They don't really know how I think and who I am as an individual and stuff like that. So they're just going generally because that's the best thought that they can form, because a lot of people don't think things through all the way and then identify with the individual first. So, yeah, I got a lot of weirdos that, you know, were happy that I was shot, happy that my wife left me. I deserved everything I got just because I want freedom and stuff like that. And then there are a lot of men out there who reached out and wanted to talk about it and get through it because they were going through the same things. They wanted to know how I was doing and how can they get through it, what were some of the things I did and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, gosh, it felt like I went through a few thousand men that just had that kind of thing. And then
I'm sure.
Tons of positive responses. A lot of people surprised that I even had a story at all, because most people, you know, just know me from online and they didn't even know I had a story at all. So it was quite an experience, but I had taken all that into account even before I put on the camera or put on the mic and talked to the camera in the first place. I thought, okay, this is no longer going to belong to me. So everything that everybody said, I never took anything personal. I just...
That's good.
Tried to do the best I could to, you know.
So it's been a year and a half or so since the series was released. I don't remember exactly when it was, but I believe you called into the show right afterward and while we were reviewing it and talking about it. And you said, if I remember correctly, that you felt it was relatively fair. Now that the entire series is available on Max, because no corporation is happy with his name and it wants to change his name, and HBO did that. Now they're just HBO. Now they're just Max for whatever retarded reason. Do you feel that the series as a whole was fair? Because my understanding of it, the way that they portrayed things, at the end I was like, yeah, this guy definitely stepped on the feet of the drug cartels, and that's why they took him out. That's the impression that I got. I don't know that that's true or not. That's just based on what the series seemed to say. That seemed to be what they were, the narrative they were trying to peddle.
Well, I don't think that they were trying to peddle. I think that they had a lot of forces working against the docuseries crew, who had complete control, but they had lawyers, they had the industry, they even had to sue the industry to get people on site to actually work with us and do the sound and the lighting and everything like that. So it was a very complicated situation for them, and there were pitfalls everywhere legally for them, and there were people coming out talking about lawyers and all that other kind of stuff to them. So they had to avoid anything that would become detrimental to the launch of this. And then even after the completion, they had to protect the wealth or any kind of payment they may have received from this and stuff like that. So they couldn't be totally fair to everybody. They couldn't tell a complete story all the way through. And that's why they left it open for future seasons to come open, so they can finish up the story if they ever feel like they need to do that kind of thing.
Okay.
I can sort of
relate. The NBC Free State series that was done by NBC Boston seemed to run into some sort of similar things, where the two people who recorded it and edited it and put it together are very friendly to porcupines and libertarians. But there are corporate considerations at play here that prevent them from being able to just paint a picture that is completely friendly to libertarianism and completely fair to libertarianism. Well, at no point were they actually unfair in the NBC series. But I do understand where you're coming from, where corporations, film crews, they have to not just tell a compelling story, because everyone wants a good story, but they have to bow to some sort of corporate interest more often than not. So I could see that. So in the years since, I mean, what's it like being here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival? Has it changed at all after the... Well, I'm more interested in Anarcho-Poco. I meant to ask this a minute ago. Have you been back to Acapulco since then. And Acapulco is ongoing. Ian describes it as the second largest libertarian festival in the world behind the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Or he says it used to be the largest, and presumably now it's the second. I don't know. But I've never actually been, and it seems like Acapulco as a concept, as an event, sort of went downhill around the events that the HBO series The Anarchists was set in. Have you been back since? And if so, what's it like?
I've been back every year since the shooting. The only year I was asked not to come was the year I was shot, and everybody was really scared. It scared off some of the speakers. Even Judge Napolitano refused to come down to Mexico because there was a shooting that had nothing to do with the event at all.
Right.
And it was way away from the event, but he just refused to come because, hey, white guy gets shot, I can't go. And I've been there every year since. I actively help set up the internet at the event, so I do help the event go run so that way people can watch it online and everybody can talk on the internet and stuff like that during the event. And there's nothing really to worry. Acapulco has changed in a way that was more manageable. If you look at the size of Porkfest, Porkfest is the largest freedom festival in the world. It is massive. The whole campground is completely taken. I don't think there's any spots available right now, as far as I can see, as I'm wandering around here. And I'm sharing a spot with somebody else. Like, I just came last minute, and somebody, by their good graces, gave me a spot. So this is by far the largest Liberty event I've been to. Even at Acapulco, when we had, like, 2,500 people running through the Princess, this still feels larger. This is more freedom oriented. That's more conference.
Really? Okay. That's sort of what I expected.
Market.
The opposite.
This is market. Like, there's a speaking venue down here.
There is.
But most of the Pork Fest is up in the campground where everyone's trying to, you know, talk to each other, meet each other, and sell their wares. And this is a really great market. This is an amazing market here.
It is, and it's fascinating to watch it unfold each year because as people come and then they come back again the next year, and they tend to surround themselves with the same people each year. And as you mentioned, there are speakers, but really, the Porcupine Freedom Festival is so much harder to describe than just a conference with a bunch of libertarians. I mean, yes, there is a conference, there are speakers. Robert F. Kennedy spoke today in just absolutely disgusting display. I cannot believe when this dude started unloading the actual metal detectors that they just say, get the hell out of here, go. No, we're not doing this. But
it's kind of wild, but when you start to grow in size, you have a lot of people looking for a message of freedom, and everybody has a subjective view of freedom.
Yeah.
So the more broad and the more popular voice of freedom that you get in here, the more attraction you can get. And all these people, as they leave status school back here, and they come out into here and they get to know everybody, they actually start to understand how freedom actually works and how we all voluntarily interact with each other. And it's just a completely different world here compared to anarchist school, or like I called that status school back there.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're advocating for the state and they want violence forced on people and stuff like that. But
so in your mind, what is happening here is not that libertarians are trying to appeal to RFK, but his followers that came to hear him speak and then presumably would wander the campground afterward and would hear more libertarian ideas?
Absolutely.
Is that right?
That is absolutely right.
I didn't go. Did you happen to go?
I did not go. I listened to some of it from my tablet down at my van. And the idea is just getting people together, having good shared experiences together. It doesn't matter what our walks of life and what our political philosophies and stuff like that. For me, it's about identifying with the individual. And when you break us all down, you cannot call us a collective. We're a bunch of individuals interacting other, you know, through coercion or through voluntary means, mostly voluntary means in everyday society. But we do have rules hanging over us in case we break those rules. And that's kind of the coercive side of society. But these people get to come into the campground and get to hang out with people who will blow their nose with the $1 bill. Like, she was, like, her face had exploded, and Aria's face had exploded from an allergy issue, and there was snot hanging out her nose, and she reaches down into her bag, and she's so badass, I'm not even kidding, she grabs an FRN from her bag and wipes her nose with it, crumples it up, and just throws it away. It was just, well, not really throw away, but stuffed it in a garbage bag. It's just absolutely wild. I was like, okay, these are the right people that you want to be hanging around with and learning about freedom. If they're just willing to take, you know, something that has value that is just, you know, completely tied to coercion, death and murder and stuff like that, wipe their nose with it and just chuck it in the garbage, that's just, that's where you want to be in life.
That's a good way of looking at it. It was not intentional. I thought I had paper towels in my bag, and as you mentioned, my face had exploded, so I had to do something about it. And the closest thing I had to toilet paper, incidentally, happened to be a dollar bill. So that was what I ended up using. I also have gold backs, but I mean, they don't have even, they're not even paper, so that's not going to work. But you mentioned that we are not a collective, and you're absolutely right. I was watching people argue about this on Twitter, and I tend to avoid Twitter and social media in general because I've realized that it's just feeding a lot of negativity and toxicity, and it's not even the real world. People think that what happens on Twitter is the real world, but it really isn't. But we are a bunch of individuals. Someone had mentioned that they can't blame Maj Touré, who canceled his appearances here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival for the third time in a row. Every time he's supposed to come here to speak, he ends up canceling, and he did it again. But they said they can't blame him for not wanting to be associated with the types of people who would put on a drag story hour or whatever. And I pointed out that that's really a false way of looking at things. I don't know any libertarian who is ashamed to be associated with another libertarian. That's a status sort of thing. To libertarians, we innately know that this is an individual. And even if I don't agree with them, even if I don't agree with their way of life, I'm not ashamed to be seen next to them or around them because they have nothing to do with me. And libertarians get that. We have a community here. We have each other's backs. And we love each other, and quite often we want to strangle the life out of each other, but we are a bunch of individuals who come together with a single goal of being individuals and promoting individual liberty. And that gets lost on a lot of people who aren't expecting that. It's difficult to describe for those who have never experienced it. They're used to existing in the world of collectives, where they're not an individual. They're a white man or a gay person or a black man. So in Maj's world, he's a black gun rights activist. But in our world, he's an individual who is a gun rights activist. And there's a subtle but important distinction there. And that's what I find here at the Libertarian, here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's a lot of individualism.
Maj has feelings. And unfortunately, he's allowing his feelings to affect his actions. Now, in the libertarian world, we respect everybody else's rights around us, and we act as adults, and we try to be responsible for how we feel, and we don't let our feelings affect our actions very often. So there is a responsibility and freedom not to hurt other people because you got feelings. It's, you know, called the non-aggression principle. And unfortunately, humans are still suffering from social conditioning that makes us feel entitled to attack other people because we're hurt. And we're just going to arbitrarily blame somebody because there are other things going on in society. In reality, you're just a person, and you want to sit there and share a story with kids. And you're not trying to attack the kids, influence the kids in any time way. You just want to share a good experience with other growing little individuals. And if the parents agree to you reading to them, which seems completely harmless to me, that should not be an issue at all. But unfortunately, some people, you get caught up into the dopamine of social media and getting confirmation bias all the time.
Especially the outrage culture. It feels good to have this righteous indignation, to feel like you're on the side of justice, fighting the evil oppressors or just the evil tyrants or the evil people in general. It feels good. There's a reason that Don Quixote got off on tilting at windmills, and it's because it feels good to feel like you're defending the weak against the strong.
Hey, absolutely, and there's just this, we got to learn to put these devices down and stop collecting all that dopamine in our head and start to live in reality and start sharing real life with each other, because you don't live life online. You live life out in the real world, meeting people and sharing experiences, and that's where history's made. History's never made behind a keyboard. I don't know anybody other than Edward Snowden who almost made history behind a keyboard, but he came out, stepped out, and said, "Here's all my stuff. Report on it."
That's a really good point. And did you have these positions about the sort of the uselessness of social media or the segregated nature of social media being distinct from the real world prior to the anarchist series, or did you come about to this realization because of reactions you were getting to the anarchist series leading you to unplug from social media? Did that sort of thing happen?
I had always felt like I was getting a dopamine feed from social media, but I was just using it because I didn't realize the dangers until I started to watch society crumble during COVID, and they had nothing to do but scroll through social media all day, which kind of like made people turn into animals. And it was absolutely wild. And that's where the thought actually formed from, was just the crazy nature that happened during Rona times.
Leslie, on the subject of Maj, we don't know why he canceled. At least to my knowledge, there hasn't been a reason given. All he's doing on Twitter, according to Ian, is fundraising at the moment. I am declaring it a victory for Bonnie and Ian and their trolling. But it frustrated me to read an article about Maj and the trolling, and they didn't even give credit to Bonnie and Ian for being the ones who started the drag queen controversy at Porkfest. Anyway, there's not a drag queen in sight, by the way. I think I'm the closest you have to a drag queen, and I'm not a drag queen. But that doesn't matter. None of that really matters. It's a wonderful festival. Come down, hang out with us. But avoid social media, because it does give people the wrong impression, I think, of libertarians, with LPNH trying to be edgy and sometimes perhaps being misguided or letting someone tweet who should have had their thumbs cut off at some point. It's jokingly, obviously. I saw your eyes get big, like, oh my God, but no, obviously joking. I'm just, some people should not be tweeting at all. Is what I'm getting at. It's like that South Park episode with Robert Baldwin where he's like, I'm not racist, but my thumbs are. So I chopped off my thumbs. That would do some people some good. But social media is very toxic, and it feeds this toxicity. As outrage is addictive, anger is addictive, the righteous indignation that people feel when they believe that they're the good guys waging eternal war against the devil, they feel good about it. To say nothing of when they say something controversial, or not even controversial, when they say something to pander to one particular crowd or another, and they get likes and retweets. And every single one of those is a little dopamine hit. And the way I train my dog here is with little dopamine hits. When she did something good, when she obeyed, I gave her a treat and told her good girl, and this made her happy, and that dopamine trained her. The more of that she got, the more of that behavior I got. And this is what we see on social media. People want that outrage. They want that anger. They want that hostility. So they like it, and they retweet it. And this causes the people who created that outrage and hostility to create more of it. And it just keeps feeding itself in this horrific negative feedback loop. And it's best to just unplug it, just get off of it. Post your crap if you must, because I still post to social media. Post your crap and go. That's the best way of dealing with it. Or just use the entire thing for trolling. Twitter raising its character limit to people who pay for it is just, that was the worst decision ever. You click show more, and it's just this massive wall of text. Like, dude, this, start a blog if that's what you want to do. But Twitter's not the place for it. And these people want to have actual discussions on Twitter where, like, the next thing you're going to see is someone arguing genitalia out for Harambe, right? Like, this is the platform we're talking about here. Why are you even trying to have a serious conversation about it? It's sort of a waste of time. But thank you so much for joining us. It's great to see you again. I look forward to seeing you again next year. And if you haven't watched the Anarchist series on HBO, check it out. It's just called The Anarchist. It is available on HBO Max. Highly worth watching. Excellent series. We're here all week at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, though, and you can come hang out with us at RV 46. There's more coming up. It is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
U.S. USA News Update. President Biden is going ahead with his weekend trip to Camp David as he continues to watch the situation in Russia. He made the trip after briefly delaying his departure to make calls to other international leaders. A group of mercenary soldiers had been marching on Moscow before its leader reportedly agreed to stand down. To mark 1 year since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, Vice President Kamala Harris recalled on Saturday saying, "How dare they," when she first heard about the Supreme Court's decision. The support ship used to launch the Titan submersible on its tragic final dive is back in Canada. The Polar Prince docked in Newfoundland on Saturday with its flags flying at half-mast. Experts believe all five passengers likely died instantly due to a catastrophic implosion. Canadian officials have announced they've started a formal safety investigation. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, day number 4 here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And, of course, this hour is brought to you by Dash. Dash is the centralized currency that you can use just about anywhere here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. They are taking cryptocurrency at the Libertarian Party National booth right behind me. I bought some orange juice from them earlier with gold backs, and that was really cool. How many people out there can say they bought orange juice from the chair of their national political party using gold? Well, here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, you can say stuff like that. Of course, I can't use cryptocurrency, so I can't use Dash, but Dash is widely accepted here and at more than 180,000 locations throughout the U.S. using the Dash Direct application. Go ahead and download that. It's for iOS and Android. And it allows you to use Dash at, again, more than 180,000 locations, and you get a discount for doing it, ranging from 1% to 5%, all the way up to 8% or 9%. So finally, you have a real incentive to use cryptocurrency instead of hodling it. Dash doesn't want you to do that. They want you to use cryptocurrency because it makes the environment stronger, makes the network stronger. So we want to say thank you to Dash.org for that and for giving us 32 Dash per month. To promote Dash on the air, check them out at Dash.org. They are run by the first decentralized autonomous organization as well. So it pioneers in the technology, and we love Dash. And they used to actually be a sponsor here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. They had the Dash Pavilion 1 year. Anyway, I'm joined now by Chad. welcome.
Hello.
You run the taco stand down here. Chad's Tacos, I believe, is this what it's called. How is this is this not your first Porcupine Freedom Festival?
Nope.
So what number is this for you, would you say?
Number three.
Number three. But this year you brought a number of people with you. I think you said you brought 12 people with you. And these are not libertarians?
Only one is really a libertarian, and he's actually considering moving here. The rest are mostly my employees and a couple friends of mine.
So Chad's Tacos is a venue that you have outside of here that you just brought here as well?
In Detroit, it's called Lagos Grandes Taqueria.
Okay.
It's a little taco shop I have there. I just called it Chad's Tacos here. It's a little bit easier.
It's a bit easier to say, yes. Okay, so you basically brought your shop here to the Porcupine Freedom Festival to continue vending because you wanted to presumably go on, quote, vacation. And it's only a vacation, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, for some people. For other people, it's a workcation. For me, it's a workcation. For you, you've been doing a lot of work down there vending tacos, and you have a large taco stall. Like, I compare you to the other guy that I know is vending tacos. He's got like a little tiny food truck, maybe the size of one of these picnic tables. There's a drastic difference in the size and quality of what you seem to be doing, and yours seems to have it. Now, do you have burritos? And I understand that's not tacos, but do you have the stuff to make burritos? Because I haven't been by yet, but I love burritos, especially burrito bowls.
I'm not making burritos here this year. I'm just doing tacos. I do burritos in the shop at home, but it was just too much stuff to bring out.
That's understandable. I can't blame you for that. Well, if I'm ever in Detroit, I will pop by. I'm never going to be in Detroit, though. And if I am, it's going to be a long time from now. But welcome back to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Is there any hope that you would say of these 12 people here? Do they have any libertarian political leanings other than the one that you mentioned? Or do they lean more toward the Democratic Party or the Republican Party? Or are they apolitical? I'm curious what brings normies to the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Well, I suppose they're probably freedom-minded at this point, mostly because of me.
Okay.
And I mean, they've worked with me for years, so they know what I'm all about. And they like it. It's not necessarily something that's super important to them. But a few of the people that came out, I mean.
So are you taking gold and silver and cryptocurrency at Chad's Tacos down there? And critically, do you take them at your brick-and-mortar shop in Detroit?
I'm taking gold backs here. I don't. I'm not taking cryptocurrency.
Is there an ideological reason for that, or is it just a matter of convenience?
I don't really trust things on the internet in terms of counter-economics. I think it's highly traceable.
It absolutely is, except for Monero, and Monero isn't supported by AnyPay, and AnyPay solved one of the problems that we had here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival with cryptocurrency. Like 4 or 5 years ago, the internet signal here sucked, and trying to send cryptocurrency was unreliable. And AnyPay wasn't really popular, so everyone just printed their QR codes, and they printed a price, and they put the QR code out there on their table. And if you wanted to buy something, you just used your wallet app, and you scan the QR code. But it never popped up as paid, like the AnyPay app does. It generates an invoice in that amount, and as soon as it detects that payment, it pops up as paid, so the vendor knows that they've received their currency, or they're going to receive their currency. But with the internet being so spotty here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival and these pre-printed QR codes, there was no real guarantee that someone was going to get their crypto. And if you sent it and it didn't go through, you're not going to remember 3 weeks later who you sent that 0.003 bitcoins to, and it was very messy. Very cumbersome. So I can't blame anyone who experienced that or any of the other issues with cryptocurrency for not being willing to take it. Gold is so much easier.
Well, goldbacks are amazing. I really, really like goldbacks a lot. I've thought about actually accepting them at my restaurant. It's probably wouldn't be terribly popular out in Michigan, but if, you know, over time, if you can get people on board with it, I mean, that's the way to go, is local hand-to-hand commerce when it comes to counter-economics.
Absolutely.
Yeah, with cryptocurrency, too, it's highly volatile. In between taking profits, you don't know what the actual value of it's going to be at the end of it.
Yeah, that's one of the issues that other people have cited in regard to cryptocurrency, where, you know, if you sell some, this is the issue they have in Venezuela as well, where they sell something one day, and a few days later, the price of the Bolivar has changed so much that they can't resupply whatever it was that they sold. And obviously, that you can't do business like that with your prices suddenly changing and fluctuating, and one day to the next, possibly not being able to resupply because the value of your currency has plummeted.
That's why I like the idea of stable coins, especially actually a gold-backed-based stable coin, which I've heard talked about from the gold-backed vendor. I think that's really interesting.
People have been floating that idea for a while. I believe the people at AnyPay were working on something similar. Of course, there are gold-backed cryptocurrencies out there. There's Pax Gold. That's the one I'm most familiar with. I enjoyed buying it back in the day. And it is presumably backed by gold that Paxos, the cryptocurrency company, actually has. But in these cases, with these currencies that are backed by gold, one of the issues I have is that we don't ever actually know if they have the gold. And they put so many hurdles in the way with the attempts to get it. Like, these gold certificates are very common in the United States. You might have an ounce of gold in a vault somewhere, but if you actually try to redeem it, you're going to run into countless problems, and it may turn out they don't actually have the gold. And the gold backs solve that problem. Yeah. You don't have to worry about not having it. It's not gold backed. It is gold. And right. That's why the name is a little confusing. It's not backed by gold. It is gold.
Yeah, you need to be able to withdraw it. It needs to be redeemable. Otherwise, it's not really a true stable coin. I mean, there has to be a way to actually redeem it in the real world, which is what gives it its value, really. That's why with cryptocurrency, it's so difficult to value it. You know, any other thing that people are buying and selling, you know, on the internet, you can just look up, you know, if you want to sell your car, what other people are selling the car for. And the market finds a price for it. It's very difficult with something like cryptocurrency because it's intangible completely. It's hard to value.
But that can work in reverse as well, where a lady who ran one of the convenience stores in Keene, which was for a long time the crypto mecca, and I'm going to circle back to, you know, the concept of taking gold backs in Detroit, but there were a lot of people accepting cryptocurrency in Keene, and she took a lot of Dash over the course of about 2 years, and she just let it sit there. And eventually, it was enough for her to buy an entire shed with. And it had doubled in the course of that 2-year period. And it's really about the how close you zoom in to cryptocurrency. Because right now, it's down from its all-time high. But it's also way up from where it was 4 years ago. Something in one of my Snapchat memories came up a few days ago where I said something about the value of Bitcoin being $7,000 per. And I thought it was going to go lower at that time. But now, of course, it's $29,000, $30,000 per Bitcoin. So anyone who bought it at a certain time is still doing well.
Well, as an investment, sure, but as a currency, even going way up in value is not necessarily good. It needs to remain stable, or else people get fear of missing out and don't want to spend it, because if you're thinking about it as a speculative investment, it's different than if you're thinking about it as a currency. You know,
no
people
doubt.
Don't really think about, you know, holding USD until the value goes up and trading it in money markets to make a profit off of it, whereas the vast majority of people in cryptocurrency are speculating on the fact that they think it's going to go up in value eventually. And the fact that it does skyrocket in value sometimes and then plummet in value is not really conducive to daily market use.
That's why
adding an element of stability would help.
Some cryptocurrencies are better at this than others. Bitcoin, of course, is not a currency. It's useless as currency. And it's always they did it that way on purpose. It was supposed to be peer-to-peer digital cash, but the people, I can't remember, Blockstream took control of it. The big banks took control of it, and they made it absolutely useless as a currency successfully. But then you have ones like Dash that do work very well as cryptocurrencies, and they do fluctuate in value, but one could argue that this encourages savings, which is something that you really need in a capitalist society. It's the difference between the grasshopper and the ant is that the grasshopper saves in the old story. And cryptocurrency encourages people to do that because they put wealth aside, and the longer they have it, more often than not, the more that money is going to be worth. In that sense, the USD has the opposite effect. It encourages people to spend because the longer you have it, the less it's going to be worth. So the USD encourages people to spend more, and the cryptocurrency encourages to save more. I don't know if any cryptocurrency that has ever really existed that is truly just like stable. They all fluctuate to some extent, obviously. And the trajectory of the USD is incontrovertibly down. But I know you're not arguing for the USD as a stable currency either.
It goes steadily down. It does. It goes steadily down because they try and peg inflation at a certain percentage. I mean, the percentage they say is obviously a lie. It's higher. But it's going down steadily, and with cryptocurrency, you just don't know where it's going to go. You could become fabulously wealthy, you know, overnight from it, or, you know, which, again, I mean, that doesn't necessarily lend itself to actual fungibility. What you want is people to be able to trade it reliably on a daily basis, and that's really why I love Goldback.
Goldback has proven to be more stable than cryptocurrency, certainly. When the Goldback was first here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, I think about 3 years ago, they were worth about $3. They were priced here at $3 a piece. And the following year, they were $4 a piece, and they just hovered right there at the $4 mark for the last several years. And it's been relatively stable in that regard, whereas cryptocurrency, Bitcoin in particular, Bitcoin is the obvious example, has fluctuated from $60,000 in the same time frame down to $15,000. It's not exactly what you want if you sold something and a few years later you want to come back to that same festival and sell more stuff. So thank you so much for being here. I got to cut this short because I have something at 2 o'clock that I have to go to, and I didn't realize that it was almost 2 o'clock right now. So thank you, Chad, for joining us. You are here at the bottom of the hill for anyone listening to this tonight. Go check them out at Chad's Tacos and bring your gold backs and bring your USD. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks. So we're back here at Rogers Campground, again in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. And I don't think I mentioned it, but this hour is brought to you by Dash. Oh, we did mention it. I mentioned it during the conversation with the guy just now. I'm back here the next day to finish out this segment. I had a meeting with a massage therapist at 2 o'clock, and then I had, you know, Drag Queen Story Hour at 3 o'clock. So I had a lot to do. I do have an update on the prison sentence. My inmate number, or with my register number, I think is the terminology they use, has been posted online. You can find that at ariadimezzo.com. That's ariadimezzo.com. It includes a link there to how you can go about sending me funds for commissary and how you can go about just writing me a letter. Definitely write me letters. I'm going to spend 18 months in prison, and it's going to be pretty lonely. So absolutely write, and shout out to Jason Riddle. He was sentenced to this exact prison, to the exact facility I'm going to be at as of Tuesday. He was sentenced there for 90 days in regard to the January the 6th riot. He took a book or something, or allegedly took a book, and I think he took a plea deal, and he served 90 days in Devon, Massachusetts, in the prison there, or in the satellite camp there. He suggests that this is where they put a lot of LGBTQ people, not just trans people, but he himself is gay, and he encountered a lot of gay people there. He mentioned that he was surprised to find so many attractive child molesters, and this surprised me too. We had a brief discussion about this. It's absolutely shocking. I would have thought that the only kind of person who is sexually interested in children is like a fat neck beard who is old and, you know, can't get any attractive women his own age. But quite the opposite, apparently. Many of them were quite good-looking, according to Jason. So shout out to him for that. He's been an invaluable resource telling me about things, little things that they don't include in the orientation, like, am I going to be allowed to keep my underwear? And the answer to that ultimately was no. I'm also very curious about the typewriter situation, because you can buy typewriter ribbons, and I intend to spend the entire time writing. And it would be ideal if I had access to my own personal typewriter that I could use 8 hours a day listening to MP3s, listening to music, and writing, which is, incidentally, that's what I did growing up. From like the ages of 10 to 18, that's what I did in my spare time. I put in headphones, and I listened to rock music while I wrote. So that would be sort of a return to form if all of those things happen to be true. He mentioned that the typewriters are present in the library for everyone to use, but maybe there's a possibility of acquiring your own typewriter, just like you can acquire your own MP3 player. Something else I had questions about. I've flown a lot, and the Every airline, well, I fly with Delta, and they include Spotify on the little screen things that you can play with there, and they're absolutely horrible. You have a selection. They're rock songs. I don't know what the hell they consider rock, but Spotify and, well, the airline and I disagree. And it's just an absolutely horrific playlist. So I wanted to know, am I going to be stuck listening to, you know, Beck when I'm in prison, or is there an actual variety? And it turns out, I think it uses iTunes. He didn't specify, but it's $1 per song. Going to get a bit pricey, but again, you can find links to my commissary, to how to send me money via commissary at ariadomezzo.com. I cannot take money into the prison with me, which was surprising. I thought you could take in some amount of cash and have it automatically put onto your books. Turns out that's not the case, and they will send any cash out to some lockbox. So, and you can't send it in advance, right? I know my register number now. I have all of the information that I would need, in theory, to send myself money in commissary. But you can't actually do it until you're actually in custody of the Bureau of Prisons. Or at least that's what it says on the website. And I don't want to send $200 to myself and have it get lost in the ether for the next 18 months because I did it when I wasn't actually in Bureau of Prisons custody. So thank you, Jason. He listens to the show occasionally, I believe, for filling me in on all of these details, these things that you need to know when you're going to prison, but they don't actually explain in the handbooks. Like, I'm trans, obviously. And the commissary list that is available online only includes, like, boxers and briefs. So, like, what am I going to be given? And they do have special clothing that they give to trans women. This facility, our guesses were accurate. They're putting me in a medical facility because this is where they put all of the trans people, for better or worse, in there with the freaking child molesters. On the subject of trans child molesters, I found out about this today. A former state rep here in New Hampshire has resigned from being a state rep for she's going into therapy. She says she's got a lot of issues to deal with, she says, because they found a lot of child sex abuse images on her devices, and she's been charged. I don't know what the results of all of that are, but she says she's going to come back to being a state representative one day once she sees a therapist. No. Kill yourself. The only way you can redeem your soul at this point, lady, is to kill yourself. The irreparable harm that you've done to the children whose material you've been exploiting, I don't know to what extent I believe the line that child sexual abuse images propagate child sexual abuse. Obviously, that's true to some extent. And I think the FBI probably overplays it a little bit. It's irrelevant, right? The act of having these images causes real harm to children, and she should burn in hell for that. And the fact that she's trans on top of this is a particular sore point. At a time when trans people are being accused unfairly of being child molesters and groomers, you're not allowed the individual, lady. You're part of the trans community here, and I realize that you being a child molester should not impact any other trans person, but trans people aren't allowed that level of individuality in today's society, and you know that. We know that. If a trans person does something, it's not you as an individual who possess these child sexual abuse images. All trans people are going to be wrongfully blamed, and it's going to be thrown in our faces that you had these images, and it doesn't matter that that's not right or wrong. You knew those would be the consequences, and you did it anyway. So the only way that you can redeem your soul, the only way you can save your soul, is to kill yourself. I got banned for Twitter for telling her that earlier today, not surprisingly. Twitter has they have a new policy where using the word cis is considered a slur. Going to be having fun with that in the near future, but only for like another 3 days. After that, I'm going to be in prison, and I will have someone tweeting for me, but she will just be tweeting for me the things that I write, and it won't serve me any good to have a Twitter ban while I'm in prison, so I'll probably keep it pretty clean. But lastly, on the subject of law enforcement, something I really wanted to talk about. Last night, I was walking my dog, as I tend to do here, going from one site to the other, finding something to do, because there's always countless venues and countless events happening. I go to one, I stay there for half an hour, and then I wander off to another, and it gives my dog lots of exercise. Gives me lots of exercise, and it's social, it's great. Porcupine Breeder Festival, you got to come try it out one year if you've never been. But I saw an ambulance drive by, so I was like, all right, well, I'm going to follow them and see what's happening, because we don't generally see a lot of ambulances here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And I followed them around, and sure enough, they parked right behind some Lancaster police officers who I did not know had even come in. And this was surprising to me. There are Lancaster police officers here, and this isn't being widely broadcast everywhere. What is going on? This should be in the Matrix chats. This should be in the Telegram chats, on the radio, but instead no one's talking about it. And they were responding to a medical incident. Someone had a panic attack, and you know, that sucks. The ambulance absolutely warranted, but why were the police out here as well? And here's two police officers at a libertarian festival. There's 20 or so libertarians finally around. I was one of the first ones there, and I still don't understand why. A lot of people followed the ambulance there, but the police car didn't magically appear. So how did it get from the front gate to this site without being followed by libertarians with their cameras out? It's completely shocking to me that this even happened. So I did, as one does, I got close and started recording the thing. And to my vast surprise, as the situation developed, roughly 20 to 25 libertarians ended up showing up. I was the only one recording the police. And, like, guys, no, I understand they're here to be polite, but this is what police do. They convince you that they're your friends. They're nice to you. They joke with you. They get all buddy-buddy with you, and they catch you off guard. This is exactly how the police disarm you. When they pull you over at 2 o'clock in the morning, they disarm you by being friendly, by cracking jokes with you, but they're investigating. They are always investigating. And you always have to record them. It was shocking to me to see so many libertarians there, only one of which, myself, was filming it, and some of them standing around answering the questions the police officer was asking in good faith. And to his credit, the police officer was probably not going to do anything, probably just going to leave, but we don't know that. And at any moment, he's a police officer, he's unpredictable, he could have flipped the script, saw some pot, saw some shrooms, and started arresting people. God only knows, he is a cop, and this is why it's important to always film them, even when they're being nice. I did feel like a little bit of a jerk at one point, being there filming the guy, not trusting the cop while he's being friendly, but quick reminder, he's an actual cop. This is what they do. Their friendliness is a ruse to disarm you and get you to answer their questions. So always film the police and don't interact with the police. But the police have been here at the Porcupine Friend Festival for at least three times. They responded again at about 1 o'clock this morning when someone was viciously attacked not 50 feet from here. And now there's violence at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I tend to think that this may be related to the invitations of some of the wrong crowds that we've had here. Some of the statists, the Kennedy people, the Tibet people, the politicians. Now there's actual attacks and violence. There's more coming up here from the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It is Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.